Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Friday, August 13th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Greer.
And I'm Noelle Swan.
This was a big week for America's political numbers nerds. That's because on Thursday, the Census Bureau released its detailed population data from the 2020 Census. These figures will be the raw material for the once every 10 years redrawing of hundreds of congressional districts and thousands of state legislative districts across the United States. The census data is also a portrait of the nation, what our race or ethnicity is, how old we are, where we live, and other such details. Among the notable findings was that the number of white people in the U.S. declined for the first time since 1790. The growth in the Latino population slightly exceeded forecasts. The share of children in the population declined due to falling birth rates. Overall, population growth slowed substantially. Notably, big cities grew faster the past 10 years than experts had predicted. At the same time, rural America shrank, both in total numbers and relative to metropolitan populations. In fact, crunching the numbers, this may mean that the starkest geographic and political divide in America is no longer between the North and its blue states and the South and its red states. The partisan difference between large metro and rural residents has become much larger than the gap between Northerners and Southerners, writes Boston College political scientist David A. Hopkins on his Honest Graft blog. Professor Hopkins points out that inside the South's red states are the big, very blue dots of cities, think Houston and Atlanta. Outside the North's urban areas, rural hinterlands are becoming deeper red. So maybe U.S. states aren't really red or blue. Maybe we should look at them all as various shades of purple. Now, today's story. Our first story. Fires have savaged the Greek island of Evia, and the state has been fighting blazes elsewhere in the country. But volunteers and grassroots efforts are helping save lives and homes.
Volunteers were the first, and at times only, line of defense against the wildfires that engulfed the Greek island of Evia this week, leaving charred olive trees in a sea of ashes. Some were brave local youth. Others came from other parts of the country, shocked into action by the inadequacy of the government response. Wherever they came from, the volunteers, as well as grassroots support from nearby cities and towns to get supplies into fire-stricken areas, have helped save lives and property from roaring blazes across the island, located just northeast of Athens. The destruction the fires caused is nonetheless catastrophic for many living on Evia, especially in its heavily wooded north. But the actions of volunteers helped prevent loss of life and keep a bad situation from becoming that much worse. "I wanted to help," says Kostas, a native of Thessaloniki, who declined to give his full name. He arrived on the island on Monday and plans to stay put until the very end of his holidays. "I couldn't stand watching it in the news. I saw the people fighting alone, and I knew I could help physically. I just couldn't watch anymore without doing something." This story was reported by Tony Rigapoulos and Dominik Sogel in northern Evia, Greece, for The Monitor.
A large number of people are crossing the United States on foot and by bike. To some, it's an act of liberation. To others, it fosters a sense of community after pandemic isolation. For all of them, traversing the country at a slow pace offers the reward of the landscape's grandeur.
Crossings please the soul. Large or small, they mark an accomplishment. The T crossed, the to-do item marked off, the dots connected. The dots may be two huge blue oceans. Scattered across the country are wanderers making the crossing from one end of the United States to the other. by foot and by bicycle. They're turning dreams formed while cooped up in quarantine into months-long journeys of epic proportions. And they love it. Crossing the U.S. provides more than just physical accomplishment. For the crossers, fulfillment comes in escape from routine, connection with others, and insight into themselves. When you're in trouble, somebody shows up, says Zach Wierzynski, stopped at a hostel in Virginia. I have never experienced this kind of kindness before. You're forced to be in the present, adds cyclist Cole Irvin. I found peace in it. Despite the newfound boom in traveling coast to coast, traipsing across the U.S. has a long history. But perhaps one crosser, Courtney Williams, while sipping bubble tea during a rest in Carbondale, Illinois, sums up centuries of competing desires with her own explanation. Because I can. As cliched as it sounds, it's not a bad answer. The story was reported by Doug Strzok on the road in the United States for The Monitor.
Iran's nuclear program has long been a potent Middle East flashpoint. That is why, to avoid conflict amid new warnings, U.S. and European diplomatic machinery is again rumbling into gear.
Iran's accelerating progress toward being able to make a nuclear weapon is escalating tensions in the Middle East. Yet even as the potential for conflict rises, the hope among key outside powers, especially the United States and its European allies, is that a mix of diplomacy and internal political constraints on all the potential combatants will avert an outright war that no one wants. Until recently, hopes for a breakthrough had been rising, but talks held in June over Iran's nuclear program have not since resumed, and Israel now says the Iranians' breakout point, when they will have sufficient fissile material to make a bomb, is around 10 weeks away. Iran also last week inaugurated a new hardline president, Ebrahim Raisi, who has military leverage of his own. Hezbollah militia allies massed with tens of thousands of missiles across Israel's northern border in Lebanon. Still, with the prospects for negotiating any early compromise with Iran looking slim, the hope will be to calm things down using diplomatic tools and, especially in contacts with Israel, find a way of at least slowing the pace of Iran's nuclear program that stops short of military action. This story was reported by Ned Temko.
While Britney Spears says her own conservatorship is abusive, the legal device has long been criticized for facilitating elder abuse and undercutting disability rights.
After years of online advocacy and pink placard protests to free Britney, supporters of the pop star heard her own testimony in court this past June. Britney Spears made a case to end a conservatorship that she says is traumatizing in its control over her life. On Thursday, her dad, Jamie Spears, agreed to step aside ahead of a hearing in Los Angeles Superior Court on September 29. The case is emblematic of an outdated yet prevalent approach that is akin to a light switch, says Jan Costello, a law professor at Loyola Marymount University. It's all or nothing, on or off, she says. They're either competent, so they get to do everything, or they're totally incompetent, so they don't get to do anything. Nina Cohn, a law professor at Syracuse University, views the solution as largely legislative. Seeing this happen to somebody like Ms. Spears really helps people understand how this arrangement can go wrong and why we need to be looking at our laws to figure out how we can make sure this doesn't happen to other people. This story was reported by Ryan Yu for The Monitor.
A spate of drownings in Massachusetts resulted in restrictions on open water swimming. But Bill Meyer, a pioneer of water safety, is on a mission to increase water safety among all levels of swimmers.
Pandemic closures of pools and record heat waves have inspired Americans to seek adventure on lakes and rivers, correspondingly increasing the risk of drowning and causing authorities to restrict open water swimming. Massachusetts has reported 47 drownings and near fatalities since January, In May, there were more than double the number of fatalities from May 2020. Other states, particularly around the Great Lakes, report similar spikes. While the thought of open water swimming inspires many, fears of the unknown in the deep are real to beginners and even to experienced swimmers hesitant to stroke beyond the ropes. Bill Meyer, a nationally recognized swim safety expert who literally wrote the book on teaching adults to swim, aims to educate all levels of swimmers with his safety clinics to simultaneously minimize risk and maximize outdoor enjoyment. "We don't want to try to hinder people from enjoying being outside," says Mr. Meyer. "There are so many adults who've had a traumatic experience in the water," he adds, "and because of that, they stay away from it. When you can help to get somebody over that fear, then that is the single greatest gift you can give." This story was reported by Kendra Nordine Beato in Great Barrington for The Monitor.
Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on migration as a weapon and why Europe cries, "Enough." In July, the European Union deployed a blimp over the border between Turkey and Greece to help prevent another wave of migrants from the Middle East, like that unleashed by Turkey 6 years ago. The blimp's deployment was timed for a similar threat. With the Taliban possibly forcing Afghans to the West as a blackmail weapon, the EU wants to tighten its vulnerable borders. Also in July, Lithuania began to set up razor wire along its border with Belarus. The move came after the strongman of Belarus began to send migrants into the small Baltic state in apparent retaliation for EU sanctions. The tactic of using migration as a weapon to cause difficulties in a democracy or to simply get money is not new, but Europe has seen the most cases of this use of demographic bombardment. Tackling the reasons why people flee a country is the best way to address migration weaponization. It is a necessary step as more regimes exploit the innocence of people to harm other countries. Other mass weapons that hurt civilians have been curbed. The world may be ready to end yet another one. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Have a great weekend. On Monday, we'll be looking at the volunteers trying to create hedgehog highways for Britain's endangered but endearing creatures. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how recognizing that God's love embraces every one of us is a powerful basis for more inclusive and harmonious interactions. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jeff Turton and Ure Okike.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2021.